Welcome to Simpaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Aaron O'Brien, and we got Holly Michelle with us again.
Woo-hoo!
What up?
Air horns.
Oh, you should have those.
Maybe I'll look for them and add them in later. Who knows?
Subscriptions will go down to 10. air horns.
But don't take our word for it.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Because we can always play the Reading Rainbow sound. Don't take our word for it.
We do have a Reading Rainbow connection in this.
We do. Mm-hmm.
Before we get into our full episode, do we want to talk about that news tidbit?
Yeah. So what's her name?
Jennifer Morris, I think.
Yeah. The girl from Once. She was also Kirk's mom in Star Trek 2009. She was at a panel.
Jennifer Morrison, I'm
Jennifer
sorry.
Jennifer Morrison, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know that person from
Yes, you
once.
Do.
Well, not a Morris. I'm like, brain did not compute.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Well, she was at a panel, and they asked her about Star Trek, and then somehow she said George Kirk's supposed death. So maybe she seems to think that George Kirk is alive, or maybe she knows for a fact George Kirk is alive. Or maybe just because Chris Hemsworth is cast, she assumes he's alive. But one of the things... Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
The exchange is, the interviewer says, as an actor, I think it's incredibly difficult to play a role of a mother who just gave birth to James Tiberius Kirk, knowing that your husband is 36 seconds away from death, basically. And then Morrison replies, supposed death. And then the interviewer goes, supposed death, right. And Morrison just goes, just saying, and she smiles. So...
Maybe she's just fucking with people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chris Hemsworth has been rumored to be in Star Trek 4 ever since Star Trek 3 came out. Mm-hmm. It was like weeks after the movie came out. It was still in theaters. And like, yeah, we're doing a Star Trek 4 and Kirk's dad's going to be in it. And I'm like, right. Really? I just can't believe it's a rumor that's still going. Mm. I mean, this is an interesting thing that it's been like perpetuated. Because usually when you hear early rumor, it never comes true.
Misdirection.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So... an interesting theory is that one of the deleted scenes of Star Trek 2009 is Nero and people go to Rurapente. So maybe they beamed George Kirk out right before he rammed the ship into the Narada, and maybe they just left him on Rurapente because they didn't care about him. So maybe he's alive in Rurapente. I mean, it's a stretch because in the movie it looks like his body flies to the view screen, but you know. Who knows?
Anything could happen, for sure. This is Star Trek.
Yeah. You know? They're always retconning stuff where they can.
Yeah, they are.
I just think that would be an interesting way of doing it and not falling into like, oh, it's Star Trek 4, so we have to include time travel in this.
It would make sense that his arms are so buff now.
Yeah. Being on Rurapente, that would totally explain him being like a buffed and jacked. like a Thor.
the only real difference is that he would be much older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, they could old age him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, they could.
But I mean, granted, like...
He could handle that.
I mean, like, just looking at, like, Thor and the Avengers and looking at Chris Hemsworth in Star Trek 2009, I mean, he looks a lot older with the beard. So,
he just came out in, 12 Strong just came out on DVD last week about the Afghanistan War.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, So it came out in 2009, so it's been like 10 years. I mean, I know he's going to be like more than, he's going to be like 25 years difference, but I mean, he looked incredibly young in Star Trek 2009, so
yeah.
Him now with a beard, just throw a little specks of gray in there from being under Klingon guards for 20 years. I think that'll be fine.
Couple scars.
Yeah, give him some scars. Maybe make him miss an eye.
Yeah, there you go. Is that Thor? No.
It's very much Thor.
I grew to like Thor with the one eye. At first, I was in Ragnarok. I was like, nope.
I was
I don't
glad.
Like it. And then I was like, I kind of like it.
I never liked the one eye. I'm glad Rocket gave him a new eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, the last one in this Avengers Affinity, I thought Thor seemed more like a god more than any other movie ever was in, you know, when he harnesses that star.
Oh, that was so awesome. Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. I was like, whoa, he really is a god.
Mm-hmm. Well, Loki's technically a god, too, and he gets choked out. And I'm like, really? Yeah.
Well, it's Thanos, so.
I was going to say, yeah. Thanos is a titan.
I don't know.
By the way, spoilers,
I feel like stars are, are a little bit worse than, spoilers for Avengers Infinity War because we're nerds.
We just ruined a bunch of people's day.
I'll put spoiler tags at the front of the description. So
right.
They'll know.
They'll be like, I've seen Enterprise. last bit of news, I forgot to mention here too is that Shatner went to visit the Star Trek set in
Ticonderoga.
Ticonderoga, right?
Oh,
yeah.
We missed it.
Yeah, well, it's on the other side of the state. So.
Yeah, I mean, the people are like, oh, you're in New York. I'm like, yeah, but we're in Buffalo, New York. We're nowhere near Ticonderoga or New York City.
Yes.
People think New York is tiny and it is all located in New York City.
Yes.
They have no idea.
Exactly.
Every time you
That's
tell,
exactly oh. what happens.
Yeah.
Every time you tell someone you're from, oh, yeah, cool, like New York City. I'm like, no.
No, no.
I'm closer to Virginia than I am New York City.
When I was in North Carolina, the gate guard on base was like, oh, you're from Canada. And I was like,
what?
No, I'm from New York. Because he saw that we were from New York, but we weren't from New York City.
Yeah.
And he was from Jersey. So he was being an asshole. And now I get it. Now I'm like, yeah, I live by Canada. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm in New York, but I'm by Canada. I don't know.
I love our Canadian neighbors.
Right.
Yeah, Stuart Foley from Trek Yards is one of our Canadian neighbors.
I love going to Canada. I love going to Toronto and all that stuff. It's great.
Yeah, Stuart was on our last episode. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that does it for news. Should we get into
just one other thing about news is we need you to finish filling out that Mad Lib. I wasn't gonna fill in one of the words, but we hadn't gotten too much response on it, so I went and filled out the words to help boost up the post. So we got a couple more for our Mad Lib, but we need you guys to jump on the Facebook group and give us some more adjectives and nouns and
It'll
stuff.
Be fun.
So we can read that on the air.
Come on, you idiots! Get in there.
Do we need to give you guys descriptions of like what verbs and nouns are? Because we can do that.
We can do that.
Yeah, press one on your computer right now. I'll see it.
Wait, press one.
Wait, no.
Press two.
Press two. If you can't, if you don't need that. looks like nobody needs it. No one's pressing anything. So I think we're good.
Gotcha.
So today we're talking about the Enterprise two-parter, which we thought was a one-parter, which I suspected was a two-parter. I was like, oh, that's weird. The names aren't part one and part two.
Mm-mm.
So
right.
that's why we were like,
So this is Demons in Terra Prime.
Terra Prime.
This is
starring RoboCop.
Four. Yeah, we got Peter Weller. Also, I hope you guys did rent Buckaroo Banzai of the Eighth Dimension.
Buckaroo Banzai.
Because it's Peter Weller's maybe his finest hour of the 80s. It's a completely ridiculous sci-fi 80s movie, and it's hilarious and awesome all at the same time. So. and it's awful too. I mean, some parts you're just like, oh, what the hell are they thinking? But it is great. It is awesome.
Fantastic.
But awfulsome.
Anyways, yeah. Awfulsome. Yeah.
Kind of. It's terrible.
If you watch it, you will enjoy it. You'll just be like, this is crazy. So,
it's so bad.
It's good things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the Tremors movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like Tremors. Or at least the first Tremors.
Yeah.
The first drama was good. I never saw the rest of
it. I can't vouch for any of the other ones.
Yeah,
well, all of the other ones have Bert, and Bert was the best out of the first movie. So we know they're bad, but we watch them anyway.
Yes.
Because of Bert.
And Bert we trust.
And Bert we trust. Okay, Bert.
Yeah, Bert. Hey, Ernie.
Hey.
Trying anal today?
I'm not involved with this.
All right. Well, let's get back to our episode. So we have Demons and Terra Prime. Demons came out. This is season 4, episode 20, and it first aired May 6, 2005.
The third to last episode of the entire series.
No, I didn't realize this was so close to the end. So, and this is directed by our Reading Rainbow pal, LeVar Burton.
But don't take our word for it. You can check IMDb.
Yes, you can. So it starts off with a little teaser. They're in the Orpheus mining facility on Luna, Earth's moon. And we get Peter Weller as Paxton and this doctor. They come look at this girl who is a half Vulcan, half human.
Spock. And wait, no.
Not yet, but they're getting close. So she and Paxton says she looks so innocent. It's almost impossible to forget what she represents. And then we kind of cut away. So we know that there's a half baby, half human. I mean, half baby.
Half baby. Babies aren't quite human yet.
No, not quite.
No babies.
No babies. Anyways, so then we get into the rest of the episode is that the Enterprise was called for a what Archer calls a pivotal moment in history. And what we see is that the humans on Earth have all the aliens who are friends of Earth trying to put together a coalition of planets. Mm-hmm. And
too bad the Deltons weren't there. I was really sad not to see some Deltons.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that's something we need to look into in the future is see when every race starts joining the Federation.
Well, the Deltons were mentioned in a previous Enterprise episode, the one with the Orions, because Travis and
right, yes, when they
Malcolm,
showed up,
Malcolm were trying to run to get their mind off the Andorian. I mean, not the Andorians, the Orions.
The Orions, right.
And they were talking about the Deltons. So the Deltons were discovered, but they weren't at the summit for some reason.
It's probably because everyone get too horny.
Probably. Yeah, everyone's gonna get busy. Hey, but everyone wants to have sex. I mean, what better way to like get them to sign a piece of paper? It's like, just get to the sex.
Yeah, I don't know how it worked with the Andorians since they have, what, 4 sexes or 5 sexes?
It'll be a 5-some. That'll be fine.
That's weird. All right. Well, we get a speech by Nathaniel Samuels, who is sort of like the, what do you want to call, Starfleet president or representative. He's the one who's trying to orchestrate this coalition. And then we have
the Enterprise people are salty that the Enterprise isn't getting any credit.
But mm-hmm. We're not at the table. And Archer kind of, admonishes them. Hey, clap. We got to look. This guy put a good face on this. This is important, you know.
I'm glad how you can say it's an order after anything.
I say what?
It's an order after anything. Clap louder. That's an order. Mm-hmm. Screw harder. That's an order. Holly's shaking her head.
Yeah, I am too.
But at least you're laughing.
Yes, I am. The crew's dismayed that Samuel didn't mention the contributions of Enterprise. And, but they're just like, look, this is happening. This is important. Don't worry about our own, glory kind of thing. And I guess we find out that Hoshi had set up the improvements to the universal translators that everyone can understand.
They're huge.
They're huge. But, they're about the size of like an iPod kind of thing, so it's not that bad.
I mean, they're pretty. They're like a phablet size. Maybe not as wide, but they're definitely kind of tall.
What is a phablet? Kind of,
it's like our phones. It's when they get like kind of bigger than 3 inches.
I had like a digital Walkman that it's about the same size as.
I think it would be cool if it was more like the clock around Flavor Flav's neck from Public Enemy.
Yes.
Yeah, boy. Anyways.
Oh, my God.
So, I just think it'd be funny.
That would be a hilarious skit, though.
That would be
though.
Really good.
Like everything's so translated by Flavor Flav.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine, Flavor Flav style Klingon, though?
Or Tellarite or Andorian.
So hilarious. Anyway, so Travis Mayweather runs into an old flame, Garnet Brooks. Terrible name for a woman, Garnet.
Garnet.
Sir, if we have any Garnets in the audience.
If there are, I'd be interested to know why your parents wanted to name you Garnet.
Garnet.
Yeah, tell us some personal information. Email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Anyways, join the so Facebook she seems group. To be she's a reporter covering the event, but they had some romantic past. I got the impression that they were going to get married, but I don't think that's what was going to happen.
Yeah,
so.
He said something about like there was something about them deciding not to commit or something, and then.
Well, also when they started like hooking up in the shuttle pod later, like he's like, oh, "I thought you were going to settle down." She's like, "I don't ever settle down." So it's like she didn't want to get married, and they both agreed not to.
Right. Well, and then the conference is disrupted by a rude trespasser named Susan Corai, and she approaches and gives a vial containing a hair follicle of pubes. And Corai then says, "They're going to kill her." And then she collapses because she's was shot in the pistol in the abdomen.
I mean, like, is it rude if you're shot with a pistol to come in and like?
Definitely wasn't rude, and definitely weren't pubes.
I know.
Babies don't have pubes. Well, maybe Vulcans start with pubes.
Maybe they have pubes. Maybe they have underarm hair. We don't know.
They were pretty long. I mean the baby was
mostly bald. So maybe
at least
pubes.
6 months old. 6 months. So
that's true. And it said 6 months.
Probably you have to admit if there were pubes in that vial, it would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious.
Because they'd all be like, "Why are there pubes in here?"
Right. Well, I believe these are. Are hairs of the from the pubic bone of a small child. Okay. What did you just say?
It'd just be great. Like when Phlox is like in there telling them that, yeah, this is your baby. It's like Trip, she's got your pubes. She's got T'Pol's ears and your pubes.
That's so great. Enterprise. So the next thing we get is Archer, Tucker, T'Pol, and Malcolm Reed join Phlox in the sick bay, and they analyze the hair pube follicles. And the DNA testing, Phlox reveals that it's a hybrid child between Tucker and T'Pol. So next we have T'Pol is meditating in her quarters, and Tucker comes in is like, "What the hell happened?" You know?
And how quick is a Vulcan pregnancy?
How could you do this to me?
Yeah. T'Pol assures him that she was never pregnant.
Ever.
But somehow, because she's Vulcan, she knows it's hers.
Vulcan magic. Vulcans always are magic.
Yeah, they're like the elves of Star Trek.
They really are.
Talking about elves, we have Archer. He meets with Samuels on the ship, and Samuel won't let the news of the child go public because I guess he brings up to this that there's this anti-alien sentiments that have been going around since the Zindi attacked about a year before. And they have this basically a group, an anti-alien group called Terra Prime, and it could tear the coalition apart while it's still in its infancy. Samuel asks Archer to let Starfleet conduct an investigation, but Archer's not having it, and he has Reed meet one of his who?
Section 31 operatives.
Yeah, in the streets of San Francisco, looking for Rice Aroni.
Oh, so, yeah. Absolutely.
So, I just love every time that Malcolm goes down to San Francisco to meet his Section 31 agent.
They don't have a nice office or something. It's just like always on the street. It's like I think they're trying to do sixty spy stuff.
Yeah, it's like they're in like back by these crates and there's like rats running around.
It's like Get Smart or like old James Bond.
Well, you know, it's still an era where they had to kind of convince people from other genres to come into the.
That's a good point.
To the. Science fiction genre.
Now the Discovery, they just gave up.
So she hasn't finished it yet.
Yeah. Be kind.
She's four episodes away from finishing it.
Right. So anyway, so the Section 31 guy tells him everything that he knows, that this Susan Corai who was killed was a member of Terra Prime, and that he gives her kind of the background information. Apparently she was having some mental issues or something. They're kind of like not clear on that.
Yeah. They wanted to give her some medical leave for mental issues and she didn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So anyway, if you can find where she was, then you'll find that child basically. And Malcolm's like, thanks. Next we get Peter Weller's back, and Paxton is in his office on the moon. and he's discussing with his doctor, this Corys, and how basically how she went to Archer and everyone, all the delegates, with this information. And he's like, well, I just didn't think that was going to happen. She got really attached to the child. And he says, are you attached to the child? He's like, no, I still feel the same way. But it seems like Paxton has different plans.
He's not convinced. He arranges for a rock slide for this poor unfortunate doctor.
Yeah, right. So he sends him away, but then he gets one of his big goons to come in and say, in an hour, we're going to meet in the tunnels. And so he's going to cover him with rocks.
Yes, so, after a severe beating.
After a severe beating, right. Next we have on Earth, Archer goes back to see Samuel and the delegates in the conference hall.
Hey, guess what? You were a part of Terra Prime.
Yeah, I said, hey, wait, what's going on? And he's like, look, I was young. I didn't know they were videotaping.
They were hot girls.
Terra Prime has the hottest girls. And I was just looking, you know, to get, you know, with some hot chicks. And this is interesting because you kind of at that point you thought, well, maybe Samuel's involved with Terra Prime too.
Yeah, like it makes you wonder. It's like, is he a bad guy? Is he trying to throw this whole thing he's showing as like a big charade?
Right. But Archer uses his leverage. He says, you're going to give me your Starfleet chief investigators, all of their case files on this, and we're going to start investigating ourselves. So, and he agrees. Next, we get Garnett Brooks goes to see Mayweather in his quarters. She just kind of just starts videotaping everything in his room. It's kind of rude.
You got
your normal clothes on. I don't know if I like you better in uniform or not. And here's your assortment of weird things.
You have this strange track lighting in your room, which I never think I paid attention to before. But
he doesn't want to have any of it.
Yeah, it's funny. Travis is like really like shutting her down completely. Like, nope, nope, nope.
But she wiggles her way in.
Yeah, she does. But then in sick bay, Tucker comes and says, it talks about to Phlox about T'Pol saying, you know, maybe she didn't tell me the truth and, you know, maybe something else is going on here.
Theorizing to yourself, Trip.
Yeah, Phlox says, don't start this.
Don't make her hate you.
Right, exactly.
If you want to have a legit baby one day.
Kind of open hate.
Oh, yes. All the Enterprise, almost all the Vulcans on Enterprise are super dicks. I'm pretty sure they hate very coldly.
Very coldly. Anyways, next we get Paxton back on the moon, and he's watching Colonel Philip Green, which, if you do not know, he was in one of the earlier TOS episodes where Kirk and Spock had to fight all these villains like Genghis Khan, and Philip Green was one of them, but he had to fight along Abraham Lincoln.
And, cool. I didn't realize Philip Green was another Star Trek reference. I didn't get that connection at all. Just listening to him talk, he sounded like Adolf Hitler.
He was sort of like an Adolf Hitler kind of character. So he basically...
He's on the genocide.
Yeah, so after World War III, apparently Colonel Green had people put to death because they had all sorts of mutations and issues because of the radiation and the fallout of World War III.
Or the Spartans.
Yes.
Get rid of all the mutants. Only the purest bred for us.
Right. But right after, he's having a discussion with his lackey there, Greaves, and he gives him some information on the Vulcan human child and the condition. But after Greaves leaves, we see Paxton give himself some kind of injection to his neck. So we're not really sure what that is, but obviously... he's an opium smoker.
He just needs it right to the neck. It'll work fast. It's closest to the brain.
Just to the brain. Next scene, we get Travis and Garnett are back, are in the shuttle bay, and they're just kind of talking about
all. Shuttle went on this crazy mission. You want to see inside it?
I think I do. And of course,
long and hard, and full of semen.
This is why. this is why.
We made that joke last week too.
Yeah. Anyways, so we have. Basically, Travis decides that he's going to make his move on Garnett in the shuttlecraft because maybe this is something he wanted to do. I don't know.
Lure her to the shuttlecraft since they don't have cars to have car sex.
Yeah,
the shuttlecraft sex.
But he didn't want to have sex in the shuttle. That's why they went back to his room.
I think they started and they're like, let's go back to my place. Yeah. So, and then they, you know, if the ship is a rocking, don't come a knocking kind of thing. So,
but Archer came a knocking.
Yes. So, Travis and Garnett are back in his quarters and they're kind of like talking about stuff. And we get this whole thing where, Phlox, talks about how he found this chemical that's used in mining facilities or low gravity. Late sick bay, Phlox finds that he found high levels of a hormone, which was in Corey's body, which is helps with gravity loss, and it's used in mining facilities, and it probably would be seen in the Orpheus mining facility, which is a hotbed for Terra Prime activity. Reed says that they have that Travis Mayweather has a friend in Orpheus facility, and it might be able to smuggle some people undercover. And then T'Pol and Tucker decide they will volunteer for that to go into the Orpheus mining facility.
Let's go find a baby.
Which, you know, I thought was really weird that there wasn't really any explanation of any kind of plans. Like they were just doing things, and there was never an outline of the plan. Like, they never once came out and said, well, we need to locate this child. Or, well, let's find the base of operations. They just made plans to do so. They never came right out and said, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I know.
I thought
exactly.
That was really frustrating. But
that
go ahead
because
continue.
The lady was a spy, even though she wasn't in the room at the time.
They weren't aware there was a spy until they thought she was a spy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just, keep going, Aaron.
Yeah. So on the moon, we see the miners. They're taking out rocks, and they find the doctor that was taking care of the Vulcan human baby buried beneath the rubble. So, you know, caught beneath the landslide.
The way you said that made my brain go, the Vulcan human baby that was buried beneath the rock slide. And I was like, that didn't happen.
But if you see my reflection on the snow-covered hills, the landslide. Anyways, so.
T'Pol and Trip are getting lost. They're arguing about the map.
Right.
Yeah.
Trip meets an angry man.
Yeah, he meets an angry racist man.
Very racist.
This is what happens every time I make a trip, and with me and my wife, and we get lost. And then I have to look for directions, and I have to talk to an angry racist man. So.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That usually happens. Anyways. So then they do seem to find the correct way into the corridors that they're where they're going.
Tickety-tap-tapping.
Right, yeah. A little tap dancing going on there.
And we're back from the tap dance intermission.
Right. All right.
But don't take our word for it.
All right. So back here, we get a on the bridge. So back on the bridge, Sato talks to Reed, saying that she found a glitch in the universal translator, and that she's like, you can see that she's working on it. So this is a little seed. We don't know what that means. We're kind of like, because Travis goes like, not Travis, and Malcolm says, can I help you? And then he says, I have this glitch. And then he just walks away. It's like, I thought you were going to help me, but he doesn't.
I don't know about languages or programming. I just like,
I don't know
things.
Nothing about talking.
If it doesn't have guns, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't care.
I didn't feel like it seemed that out of place that he just walked away because she was like
immersed in her work.
Yeah. She wasn't very inviting about it. She was just like matter-of-factly stating what she was doing and didn't.
But Malcolm's very much about guns.
Yeah, he's like, if there's nothing I can shoot, I don't care.
Yeah, I can't help you.
If I can't calibrate a phaser pistol pod, I'll be fine.
So back on the mining facility on the moon, Tucker runs into this guy named Josiah.
Oh, poor Josiah Leroy. Shout out to Geekiverse.
So he runs into him, and he's basically just like, "Don't you hate aliens?"
Yeah, just like, yeah, just like that.
He's like, "Yeah, I do hate aliens. Me too. We're going to have a meeting on hating aliens pretty soon." So he gets
invited.
You want
to come to a hate rally? Okay.
He shows him around. He's like, "Oh, you must be new here."
So he gets invited to the clan rally.
The KKK meeting. Damn, Josiah. Come on.
Come on. So.
We love you. We're joking.
Yeah, I know. We're just joking. T'Pol meets up with Tucker and says that she found out about the doctor's death. That was connected to Susan Corey. So
he's like, you might want to make like a tree and leave because they don't like your ears.
Yeah, he says you might want to get out of here. Put a hat on your head at least.
Do the Spock.
Next scene we have is obviously Travis and Garnett are in his quarters, and who walks in is Archer and Reed, and they basically say to Travis that she's a member of Terra Prime, and they take her away. And then we have. Tucker and T'Pol are back on the moon. We have Tucker's at the meeting, at the clan meeting of Terra Prime, and he's outed as Tucker from the Enterprise, and they basically take him in. And while T'Pol is investigating where the doctor was killed, she gets shot with some phasers and stunned. So they're back in Paxton's office, and Tucker says, "Don't worry about Juliet; she's fine." And then he basically says that Paxton says reveals that he's in charge of the whole facility, and he leads the Terra Prime movement. And he then basically tells Tucker and T'Pol, "This ultimate goal is to Earth is to return it to its rightful owners, which are humans." And he says his life work and. You know, that humans shouldn't be mixing with these aliens.
Xenophobic at its best. And
yeah.
We're going to Mars.
We're going to Mars.
Get your ass to Mars.
Get your ass to Mars. So then Paxton tells his lackey Greaves to take the facility into launch mode. And he says, "Where are we going?" He says, "Don't worry, it'd be a walk across the street for you." And it's a giant mining facility launches off the moon, and it goes into warp.
Mm-hmm. Like 5 seconds. Oh, we're at Mars.
Yeah, we're in Mars.
Trip is like, "You're going to blow this thing up. This thing can't handle warp." Good thing he was wrong.
Yeah, good thing, right? So on the Enterprise, Garnett Brooks is being interrogated by Archer and Reed, and Archer says that the universal translators were reconfigured, and that was from her. And when she did that, she tripped some kind of check in that, and that's how they kind of like knew it was her that she did that. That's not really well explained, but we assume that was from her.
Yeah, they say she was spying on the delegates, not doing a report.
Mm-hmm.
She's not even a real reporter anymore.
Yeah, she's not a real reporter because she said that we've seen you made some lunar colony.
Just like Superman.
That's right.
You're not really a reporter.
You're just a superhero.
You're an alien.
Yes. Get Superman off the planet, too.
Get off of here. We don't need you.
So she's basically there's like, you're Terra Prime. And she then says, "I want legal counsel." And then Archer says, "Go to take her to the bridge.
Get her anyone she wants.
get her legal counsel, but get her to the brig.
Get her Jesse Jackson. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit."
That's right. And then Archer gets a call that the Orpheus mining facility is now off the moon and heading towards Mars. And
it plugs into some kind of array.
Yeah, so the Orpheus mining facility lands on Mars and goes into this array, and it attaches itself to it with this one cable, which that's got to be the weakest link. You just got to shoot that thing off of it.
It looks just like a claw arm. It just seems so ineffective as like a – I mean, it seems like it would hold on to something. It doesn't seem like it would plug into it, but apparently it does. It does seem like a very weak link that they could have exploited, but
yeah, just shoot that, you're done. So it's called the Virton array, and it basically is used to deflect asteroids off away from Mars,
the planet. Yeah,
but it's used to coax in comets though, so they can get some liquid water on Mars.
Yes, right. And so
it's like a communications array too, because he like blocks all the signals and starts shouting his propaganda across the entire solar system.
Right. And what happens is, so they take control of it, and then They take a shot and they blow a shot up in the moon. I'm assuming it must be the old mining facility, but I could be wrong. I don't know what they really shot at.
They didn't specify a target, but I mean, it would make sense. It's like, I'm not sitting there anymore. Let's just blow up the rest of the colony. That works.
Right.
We have power. Don't mess with us. Terra Prima.
Yeah, so he kind of just shows off that what they're going to do, and he makes this ultimatum that, hey, if the aliens don't leave Earth in, 24 hours or 48 hours?
I think it's 48.
That we'll blow up Starfleet Command and, you know, Terra Prime forever, and then we get to be continued. And next we get the next episode of the series Terra Prime, which is Season 4, Episode 21, and this aired May 13th, 2005. So we get the whole teaser, which is kind of just a reflection of everything that happened.
It's funny, we're really close to the anniversary of both these episodes.
Yeah, we are. Exactly. It's kind of strange, isn't it?
We do that a lot. I feel like we're like, it's really close to like the anniversary. That's interesting. Nice.
And like we never like just plan. We never plan.
We never plan for anniversaries. They just happen.
We never plan for anything really.
We're a very Seat of Our Pants podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
We're the Seat of Our Pants Network.
That's right. So we get sort of a longer speech by Paxton in the beginning of this, where he kind of like lays out what his philosophy of Terra Prime is, that humans are being infiltrated by these aliens. They're destroying our culture.
We've got a baby here.
Breaking down the genetics. And
right. Yeah.
Humans will be extinct soon if we keep letting them breed with aliens.
Right.
We should start breeding with robots.
So and that's when they show the picture of the Trip and T'Pol's baby with the baby with the pointed ears, and basically saying that this is a hybrid of human and Vulcan. So
back on Earth, all the aliens are scared. They're like they keep playing audio for the guy who's trying to put everything together. Paxton,
right.
Not Paxton, but the other guy. They're like, how come we're getting met with all this violence?
Mm-hmm.
Should we leave?
Right. Right. And so there's a lot of people who are scared. And there's all these like protests and everything outside all their embassies. So obviously this is like well coordinated by Terra Prime.
All those sanctuary cities are rising up.
Sanctuary cities. Anyway, so that's. It was 24 hours, not 48 hours.
Oh, 24. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Archer wants Malcolm Reed to scan Paxton's ships for Vulcan life signs, if they can transport T'Pol out, as well as the infant. But then Paxton realized that they're doing that, and he takes a shot at them. But apparently there's like only 2% from the array that fires on them, and it could have totally vaporized them.
We'll consider ourselves warned. It was nice of Paxton not to just melt them in the sky.
Yes, right. And, he says that, the Terra Prime doesn't want war, but just wants promise the sons and daughters of Earth that the humanity will prevail. So
remain pure humans.
Yes, very much so. So in Archer's ready room, Samuel orders the captain to attack the array, but Archer says he can't because two of his people are being held hostage. Mm-hmm. But they want to get this done anyways. So they make this crazy plan that they are going to tail a comet that's going towards the North Pole of Mars, and they're going to like hide within its tail with a shuttlecraft. And if they go after they get into the atmosphere, if they go low enough, that
they won't be detectable.
Yeah, they won't be seen.
Camouflage. But it's great. Hoshi gets made, commanding officer,
right,
of the bridge. And right. Unfortunately, they always had the annoying guy like left on the bridge, the guy with
minister,
the cape.
Or, yeah, the bureaucrat.
I wish he had the cape, like in Galileo 7.
Yes. Yeah, he had the little half cape.
Where he flipped the little cape. It's like, do it now.
Do it now. Destroy them now.
Because basically, they're ordered to destroy the array. And that would kill all the miners. They don't want to do that. They'd also kill Trip, T'Pol, and the baby. They don't want to do that. And so that's why they're doing the crazy plan. But they've got Hoshi's finger on the trigger, just in case they can't do it in time to save Starfleet headquarters.
That's right. And they don't like his plan. They don't like Archer's plan. But they will go along with it, until it's getting
Like maybe we
Until
can kill
we
Archer.
Absolutely can't.
Maybe we can kill Archer. That we can write him out of the history books. Yes.
Yeah. That'd be great.
That's what he's thinking the entire time. He's like, let's kill it. Press the button. Kill him.
Back on Mars, T'Pol and Tucker learned that they gathered their DNA and put their put this baby together basically by taking bio samples off the Enterprise.
Lego baby.
He's a Lego baby. And they're like, what? There's a Terra Prime person on the ship? And he's like, we have many operatives everywhere. So, again.
Enterprise is a small crew. It's only like 100-something people. That's a shame. It's a damn shame.
Right. And then from there, we get they basically take the shuttlecraft into the comet. And while they're flying in
Malcolm
there,
needs a barf bag.
Yeah. I think it's funny that Malcolm is always kind of like, oh, like, weren't your family sailors or something like that?
Yeah, his dad was a sailor. He gets seasick easy. It's the funny curse. He took a full dose of Dramamine from Phlox, and he still needs his barf bag.
Yeah, I enjoyed the banter inside the shuttle when they were tailing the comet. I thought it was fun.
And Malcolm's like, I've taken all the Dramamine that's humanly possible. I love that. And then he just gives him the bag. It's like, yep, you're going to need this.
I love how he hands it back to him.
Yeah, it's like, it's full of barf. Can I have another one?
Right. He's not going to have some more.
And he's like, you mean it's going to get worse? Because Travis is like, yeah, hang on, it's going to get worse. So I go to Manuel. It's going to get worse.
just to back up real quickly, we have that Travis visits Garnett in the in the brig, and she basically says, I'm Starfleet intelligence. He's like, that's BS, because if you were, you'd be out of here right away. So
if I did, then I'd let the spy know.
And yeah. Like,
but you're the spy.
But you're the spy. This is all confusing. I got
which
know.
it was even more confusing because their relationship wasn't well explained anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
You're not going to manipulate me.
There was not a whole lot in this episode to really pull you in and commit you to being emotionally invested.
To them.
With those two, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very, very much just like, eh. It's almost too much going on in this episode anyways.
Kind of forced.
To have that relationship, other than that they knew each other from before.
Right.
So anyways, we...
But the show was ending and he hadn't really had a good romantic partner yet. So here, let's shoehorn it in to the last two and a half episodes.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Tucker gets shown the baby with T'Pol, and because they saw the baby's fine, he promised Paxton that he'd fix the array had problems, like, I guess, targeting. It's not that precise.
It was like a big wide beam, and he wanted it like to be efficient, like a scalpel.
Yeah, because he
didn't want to kill humans. He just wanted to like show an example.
Right. So what Paxton wanted to do is he wanted to fire at the building of Starfleet headquarters. But he said, currently, if I just fire it, I'll just take out most of San Francisco and kill almost everybody. So,
and he's like, if you fix it, then I'll just be destroying an empty building because they know to get out.
Mm-hmm. So he gets so Tucker is pretending to fix it, but then he kind of sabotages the system while he's doing it. And then Greaves gets in a little tussle with him. You know, but he then beats up Tucker, so...
he gets taken to his room.
Yeah, he gets taken to the rooms, right. But, Tucker is caught being by Paxton that he was sabotaging the weapon, and he says, you know, I would have thought less of you if you didn't try to at least sabotage it. But Tucker refuses to work on the system. And he says, if you want a bloodbath, that's what you're going to get. So, and he says, and he puts him into a... he puts him into a brig or a closet, but he's orders to have a TV sent in there so he can see everyone die.
So he can
die.
Watch the destruction, yeah. Mm-hmm. But tripping the engineer.
Make sure he's got a news feed.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
exactly. Make sure he's got Fox News.
Fox News. T'Pol is in her quarters with the baby, and
she thinks
she's been
dying.
Monitoring the baby since she got there.
And the baby is getting sick, and mm-hmm. she doesn't know why. And she says, "You got to take this baby to, the hospital here on Mars." And he's like, yeah, "I don't know what you're smoking, but that ain't going to happen."
And then she picks up his arm, and
the baby's genetics are in conflict with each other.
What did you expect?
Blah 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 blah. Blarky blicky blarg.
Reasons.
So you're saying the human antibodies and the Vulcan antibodies are fighting each other? That doesn't make any sense.
They're fighting each other.
But then she picks up his arm and it's all shaky. And she uses Vulcan magic to diagnose that he's got some kind of other disease that he needs medical care for, which is why he knows she
No. She actually,
She
scans him.
Oh, she did? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, so she scanned the baby, and then he comes in, and then she talks about the fever, and then he goes to leave, and she scans him, and she looks at it as he closes the door, and then she goes to his office, and then she's like, look here, motherfucker, you're going to get my baby well, or I'm going to tell everybody what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, because the cure for his disease is shooting himself up with alien...
It's alien tech, knowledge.
He suffers from Taggartson syndrome, which is a neurological disorder. And it was the only treatment was a Rigelian gene therapy, which he was doing the injections for. Mm-hmm. So he was like, you know, your whole life is you're a hypocrite. You know, your life is saved by the fact that
we have these aliens
gave you this treatment for free. So, but that doesn't change him. He seems pretty much stuck on his way.
It's great that he's a hypocrite, though, which makes you like, get to hate him worse, which is great.
I know. No, he plays a great villain.
Peter Weller's fantastic.
Yeah, he is. Later we get on the shuttlecraft. Shuttlecraft loses control, and Travis has to go manual flying into this comet. And as it crashes into the planet, then they have to veer off so they don't crash, and obviously then keep at a very low distance on the surface of Mars. So it does work. Travis obviously is a good pilot, but we realize that there probably might be a saboteur on the Enterprise when this happens. So maybe Garnett was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. But we don't know that yet, but that will come to fruition later. So after that, on the bridge, the administrator president, Samuels, basically tells Sato, who's in command, that the deadline's up. You know, Archer and his team. Yeah, it's got to go. And she's like, we got a couple more minutes.
It takes at least 2 minutes for it to work.
Yeah. And he says, you know, and, you know, Samuel's not totally wrong. He says, you're risking the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. And Sato's like, I know what I'm doing.
I love Hoshi with some balls.
Yeah.
Because like, she was always so timid for, like, most of the first three seasons. And it's really nice to see her, like, be awesome. And be like, I know what I'm doing. Screw you. You know, it's great. It's great to see that character arc for her being a very, like, weak character to becoming a much stronger character.
Absolutely. No, yeah. Well, and then I think just before this, we got the Mirror Universe, Mirror Darkly.
Yep. Where she became Empress, which was awesome.
Yeah, where she becomes Empress. So
they're running around and they run into Trip, who's escaped from his closet.
Yeah, so Archer, Reed, Phlox, and Travis all infiltrate the mining complex, and they run into Trip. And then he takes them to the control room, and this is where Archer calls the Enterprise, says, we're all good. We're going to shut these guys down. And, you know, Sato's like, oh, good.
I don't have to kill you.
The seconds are ticked, and yeah, she's like, oh, hey, there's Archer.
See,
I knew what I was doing.
See, Samuels, if I would have listened to you, I would have killed a bunch of people.
Right. That I like.
That I like. They're my friends.
Friendship.
So we have this great phaser fight in the control room. They keep shutting down the array to not fire, but then they keep turning it back on. And
I wonder why the transparent aluminum cracks like glass. Hmm.
I don't know.
It should be transparent aluminum.
It should be, but maybe it's just it's weathered from flying from the moon to Mars. So who can say? Who knows these things? But yeah, so the window on the Orpheus mining facility spaceship thing gets shot, and at the last minute, Paxton and Archer have this fight because the air gets all sucked out. Archer can't seem to think too straight, Paxton.
I was a miner all my life.
He locks the weapon array to fire no matter what. So it seems like it fires, and like Archer thinks he fails, but what we see next is that it totally misses, and it just fires into the bay, San Francisco Bay. We see that it was Trip who redirected it a couple degrees.
Good job, anybody. Trip.
Good job. So
fishies.
The fishies died.
So long.
They're doing the Crocodile Dundee fishing method.
yeah, exactly. Next we have they find T'Pol and her daughter, but the baby says that the baby's dying.
They take it back to Enterprise and they try to fix it.
Yeah, but the baby's, there's something wrong with the baby's DNA that's just
right.
the Vulcan and human DNA is not reconciling together.
They use the wrong Legos.
They use the wrong Legos. That's right. But they decide they call they decide.
Holly's face is great. She's laughing at me for what I said.
So T'Pol decides that she wants to call the baby Elizabeth, which is named after Tripp's sister.
Tripp's sister, mm-hmm. who died in the Zindi attack whenever they cut that big slice into Florida.
In Pensacola, Florida.
Pensacola, yeah.
Then Reed and Meriwether discover that the shuttle pod that they were on was definitely sabotaged. And they go after Commander Kelby, and they kind of blame him. But then he says, this wasn't me. I didn't do this. It was done by Ensign Massaro.
Well, he doesn't say it was done by him, but he was like, I was taken off that team, and I was replaced by so-and-so.
Then we get this scene where Archer is confronting
so-and-so.
Well, he just gets off the turbo list, and then it looks like the guy's going to shoot Archer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Ensign Massaro is there, and then he's
sorry.
I didn't mean to, kill...
Tell my parents I'm sorry.
And then he shoots himself, and that's the end of Ensign Massaro. So that's kind of sad. And then we have a back at the the Earth on Starfleet.
human baby. Earth. Half human, half baby.
Half human,
back on Earth.
Baby.
Meanwhile, back on Earth.
Archer gives a speech to the delegates, all the aliens, basically saying that we work better together, and he gives this rousing speech, mm-hmm. and everyone claps. So they're
not by command. They just clap.
Yes. It was just so good because Archer's speeches are the best.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. But anyways,
at least he wasn't naked with a chainsaw.
That is good.
Have you attended many speeches where the speaker was naked with a chainsaw?
Well, there was an episode where Archer had offended this people, and he had to be like naked with a bunch of sparkles on him and cut a tree apart with a chainsaw.
Yeah, he did have to do that. Yeah.
So, it wasn't the same kind of speech. This was an apology, but it's sort of like it just made me think of an Archer speech type thing. He had to recite some like alien language.
You're not selling me on continuing my journey through Enterprise.
Really? No.
Yeah, no.
Well, he was just topless. He wasn't naked. But
he wasn't naked. I the one thing I can say about Archer is like,
it's been a long, long road.
Yes, he has a good physique for a guy his age. I gotta give him that.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that bad seeing him doing some chainsawing.
He's okay doing chainsaw.
It's just a closing scene. It's not too bad.
I'm sorry, men's bodies don't make me squeamish or anything.
They don't me either, so anyways. Let's get off. So we get an awkward exchange between Garnett and Travis while she's leaving, basically saying, I was just doing my job, and he's like, so was I.
I do my job.
But did you love me?
Yeah, right. anyway, so this is kind of a stupid goodbye. And then we get the worst part of the whole thing is that we get
heartbreaking
into T'Pol's quarters. And basically we know that Elizabeth, the baby, had died, and they're going to have a memorial, and all the delegates want to be there. And but they said that the humans and Vulcan's DNA, they can be combined. I guess they used the incorrect method for cloning. So even those Terra Prime idiots, basically.
They messed that up. Probably on purpose.
Maybe on purpose, yeah. You could be right. It could have been on purpose.
Peter Weller probably threw a wrench into the Legos.
Yes, this abomination can't live. And then, we have this just sad ending where T'Pol and Tucker are holding hands, and you can tell they're pretty upset. So
And Phlox also gives like a really great heartbreaking line, like when Archer comes into the sick bay and they're Tripp and T'Pol are standing over like the baby, and Phlox starts crying. It's like I didn't I came here to get away from my family because it's complicated on Denobula. And then he's like, I didn't realize I'd find a family here, and like losing Elizabeth is like losing one of my own. He starts crying. It was a really moving scene.
It was moving. I do picture Phlox when he's back on Denobula. He's sort of like the Homer Simpson with like 100 barks. And stuff like that. It's always falling over and like skateboards.
Yes.
And choking his kids. It's like, I gotta get off this planet.
And the other husbands and the other wives.
Yeah, in all their wives, yeah. Very complicated.
So, complicated family.
So, wonderful.
I want to see the Nobelin Family Guy show.
Oh, God. Their families are so confusing.
And then, like, the Nobelin Family Guy Simpsons crossover.
That would be funny. Someone should do that.
Yes.
Get on the internet.
Get on the internet. All you YouTube savvy folk.
That's right. Okay, so Dave.
Aaron, you're the one who proposed this episode. You should start with your thoughts and feelings on it.
Oh, man.
Because you were like, yeah, let's do Terra Prime. And I'm like, that is a good episode. And then we're like, oh, crap, it's a two-parter. So we got to look to Demons, too.
It wasn't that it was a two-parter. I mean, bothering. I remembered that later on. I kind of thought it was, but I was like, oh, I couldn't remember.
But it didn't have, like, the one and two. So we were like, oh, maybe it's not? Yeah.
I think first of all, Peter Weller as the bad guy or just an actor is just fascinating to watch, you know, so he's awesome. He's just he's such a dick, you know, so he's just so cool to watch. And, you know, the idea of the beginning of the Federation is really interesting. Obviously we get it in the next episode.
Yes.
But it's kind of rushed, of course.
Yes, very rushed because it's only a one-parter.
Yeah. Right. And it's obviously they just capped off the episode and stuff like that. I think they were going to get into it more if they did another episode, but
yeah,
we never really got. But it's kind of sad that this, like, especially the way Terra Prime ends, that this is sort of like the last episode per se of the adventures of the crew, you know, without this look back of, you know, with Riker and Troy.
It almost does feel like a series finale in a way. I mean, they could have ended it here.
Yeah.
And then they almost should have. I mean, like, the idea for the actual finale was interesting on paper, and it's an interesting concept, but it is a huge disservice to the cast who worked on the show for 4 years to make the last episode, potentially the entire series, a series of holodeck episodes.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they did like the thing where Riker was the chef, and the chef was never his face, and it was never shown in any other episodes. And then all of a sudden, they pan up to his face, and look, it's Riker. So was the chef always Riker? You know, it puts into doubt that theoretically all of Enterprise could have been a holodeck episode, which could also, you know, answer some people's canon issues with Enterprise.
Right, right. That's one of the things that was you know, interesting and kind of confusing, just because obviously I don't think they realized it was going to be canceled that quickly while they were setting up all these stories.
Oh no, they did. Like, season 4 was a gift on a silver platter so they could reach syndication.
Yeah, but it was like, what a way to end it.
Yeah,
you know. But then you get the whole the Terra Prime movement, which I think is fascinating, because I think we're seeing a kind of like a influx of that kind of stuff happening these days.
Absolutely.
In our country, where we have the xenophobic of anybody who's the outsider. Yeah. You know, we have you know, people hating on illegal immigrants and all sorts of stuff like that, which, you know, regardless of your politics, I mean, they're still human beings. Absolutely. And then we have the whole Charlottesville, the Unite the Right rally that happened some time ago. And, you know, it's just disturbing.
We got the people driving over people with vans. I mean, happened in Toronto not long ago. I mean,
That has more to do with incel people who they're like the voluntary celibate kind of people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it's still active terrorism.
Oh, it is terrorism.
And it's in its own right. And it's, you know, it's just as bad of a thing as, you know, being, you know, racist to people and being xenophobic. Especially, this is just being like overly sexist, which, you know, is just as bad.
Yeah, exactly. But so, yeah. So I strangely enough, I didn't really think about this episode. I just remember this episode being really just a strong two-parter. I didn't remember it was a two-parter, but a couple episodes. And then all of a sudden you watch it, like, you know, it has echoes of today, you know, and you're like, holy crap. How's, you know, I guess these stories get told over and over again, some way, shape or form.
You know, it's just great. Like, you know, my dad was actually talking to me like a couple months ago, and he's like, you know, I like all Star Trek, but to him, he thinks the original series is timeless because the stories are timeless. And I'm like, I don't know. I think all Star Trek is going to be timeless because there's always going to be something that'll pop up that'll be like, oh, this is just like how it is now, even though they wrote about it years and years ago. I mean,
right.
When we talked about the two-parter of, you know, the Sanctuary City episodes.
Right.
For Deep Space Nine, that was, you know, it was very real considering that it's only like 8 years away.
Yeah, right.
It's 7 years away from now, I guess.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just really intense, you know, how Star Trek has always told stories that were meaningful for the time, meaningful for the past, and meaningful for the future. Like, you know, because these episodes are 13 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that really changes, if anything, is, you know, the timeline itself, like the 90s, things happen. Like we saw the rise of the genetic augments, like Kanuni and Singh, and we get the World War III and stuff like that, which, you know, all those things obviously would have happened by now. But still, I mean, the stories are still, you know, you just look at them, you're just like, oh, geez, you know, like that seems weird that we're seeing this now, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, everything old is new again, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe human nature is not that great.
No, typically not, unfortunately.
I do like when Star Trek looks into the soul of a humanity and sees the dark corners, and they try to say, like, we can be better than that.
Well, that's when Star Trek is at its best, really. How about you, Holly? What are your thoughts on these two episodes?
Well, that was deep. I can't say I didn't either. Words. Obviously, I'm not a big fan of segregation or the elitists. Mm-hmm. So, not a Terra Prime, not a good candidate for Terra Prime.
you're not supposed to be endorsing it.
No, I'm just saying. I won't be throwing my hat into the ring for that. Didn't really appreciate the fact that I felt like everything was just underexplained. Like, granted, I haven't seen all of Enterprise. So maybe there have been little hints of Terra Prime throughout the seasons.
I don't think so.
Well, if there weren't, it felt abrupt. Like, this should not be the first time you're hearing about Terra Prime, if that's the case.
Well, it's Star Trek. Everything's very episodic.
Yeah, but you also have a platform that is allowing you to build stories in between stories. And especially if you're implementing spies throughout different cultures and regimes. Not that, you know, I guess that's the wrong word. But you should be able to subtly build on things like Doctor Who can put something super subtle in season 3 that's in season 5 and then expands in season 6, you know? Well, so like Star Trek has the opportunity to do that kind of stuff. So
it does, but Star Trek Enterprise season 4 got a new showrunner, Manny Coto, who was a big fan of like the original Star Trek, like from the 60s. So we got he had lots of throwback stuff, because like the first three seasons they kept throwing new stuff, or like they threw in a Ferengi in an episode, which like made no sense. And so instead of like including a lot of classic aliens and Enterprise, which they should have done, Manny Coto started doing that in season four, because that's the season he got.
Yeah.
So like they did a lot of little arcs in season 4, because they did like the two mirror universes before this one, and they had the three or four parter with the augments and the Klingon virus. So that was like a three parter then a two parter. So like there was all these little stories, but I don't remember Terra Prime ever coming up before in season 4.
It just seemed like. It fell, I don't know, I wouldn't say it fell short, because that means that I would have to have had expectations. I don't know. Things were not explained well enough for me to really enjoy these episodes.
We did watch the second episode first.
Which is fine, and my brain can work backwards. It's totally fine about that, but it just that...
In some ways, I agree, Holly, that, like, if you talk about Doctor Who, like, if you take the Bad Wolf reference, you know, that was seeded throughout for, I don't know how long that was,
right.
You know, at least two or three seasons. Mm-hmm. And they, this was, like, you know, this was around the same time, this, you know, this is 2005, So if Doctor Who was that forward thinking at the time, how come Star Trek couldn't have been?
Right.
And it just, as always, it just seems like, you know, bad management of writing and the production of everything. So,
but
I mean,
the thing is, season four of Enterprise is the most solid season. It's probably one of the most solid seasons of Star Trek ever.
I agree.
Maybe these two episodes might be the low point as far as telling a cohesive story.
Yeah.
Because it is a little bit jumbled. Like the love interest for Travis really didn't need to be there. They could have done the spy thing a completely different way, made it a little bit less convoluted. I mean, I do agree that it isn't as straightforward as it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like the second part, the Terra Prime episode, was just such great emotional impact.
Mm-hmm.
Like the performances between Flock, you know, the John Billingsley, you know, the guy who plays Trip, you know, and T'Pol.
Yeah.
It's just the acting is so great, and it's
it is really good. The only thing I'd say about Terra Prime as the terrorist group or what have you is like it's sort of like the alt-right.
I mean, like it's very much alt-right because the guy that RoboCop loves is basically Hitler.
Yeah, no, exactly the Colonel Green there, but I guess my thing is like I just reflecting on it because what Holly was saying. Like Terra Prime, the idea that I didn't even, you know, we didn't know it existed before. And like Archer was kind of unfamiliar with it as well, that it was even happening, this anti-alien sentiment that was going on planet Earth after the Zindi War was like, you know, brought back up is like, you know, during this whole thing, the alt-right and like Steve Bannon, who was working for President Trump and stuff like that. Like, I didn't even know that was still a thing. I just thought, you know, yeah, maybe we had a couple skinheads and Klansmen in like the weird shady corners of society, but apparently it was a lot bigger than I thought it was, you know? So it was like, whoa, I thought we got past all that, you know, hating on, you know, black people and hating on, you know, immigrants and stuff like that and Jews. I thought we were past all that stuff, but apparently we were not. So when we see Terra Prime and Pac, you know, and, you know, Paxton's character there, I mean, it's surprising because maybe you just don't realize it was there. It was always festering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's my only defense of it. I mean, obviously, because like, you know, Holly's like they could have like seeded that through
Archer's our protagonist in this episode. So it was news to him. So it's news to us.
Yeah. We're seeing everything through his eyes. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like even if things weren't seeded throughout, you know, previous episodes, now over-explaining things is never good because if you have loyal viewers, you don't want to continue to explain the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Too much exposition is definitely bad.
Right. But for someone who maybe is channel surfing and doesn't know if they like Star Trek and they flip this episode on, there's literally zero explanation to anything in the episode. It's literally just this is happening, and it's just like them reacting to what's happening, but there's no explanations as to what's happening. Like, you don't even realize that, like, they never talk about the fact that what's the douchebag scientist leader's name of Terra Prime?
You mean the doctor?
No, not the doctor. The
Peter Weller's character?
Oh, Paxton.
Paxton. Like, it's only briefly hinted at that he genetically created this thing, this child.
Right.
It's not even...
And it's in the second episode.
And that's a big... Like, the fact that he created a being in order to sway the human population to damn all aliens, like, that's a big... That's really big. And they didn't even really touch on that at all. He was just like, the abomination was created for one purpose. And that's basically all he says. There's no... And then, like, the mystery behind, what was her name, Susan or something, who was shot with the phaser. Like, she was a nurse or some kind of physician, and it's not explained that she worked with like the creation of this child or anything. And it's very just one vague and it just wasn't it. If I had never seen Star Trek and I saw this episode and I saw how poorly things were even explained from like scene to scene, I don't know that I'd watch another episode. And I'm not saying it's a bad episode. Well, maybe they're bad episodes, but it has the potential to be really good episodes.
I will agree with you. Season 4 is probably the best. Like I said before, it's probably the best season of Star Trek ever. Mm. But it's the best season of Star Trek ever for Star Trek fans.
Yes.
Season 4 is so heavily slanted on that you're a Star Trek fan.
Because they're finally tying Enterprise in with TOS and everything else that comes after it.
There's so much stuff that they're doing. Or where the first three seasons, they were all doing their own thing. It was Star Trek. I mean, they didn't even have Star Trek in the title until the third season. It was just called Enterprise. Hmm. Like they were trying to get it away from Star Trek, and then I guess people realized that they knew it was Star Trek even though it didn't have it in the title, and they just finally put the Star Trek title onto it. I think it's season 3 or season 4. Hmm. But season 4, since it was basically a blank check to like you have to fill out your episodes to get this show syndicated because that's where we're going to make our money from it. The show's canceled. Just make these episodes and you're done.
Right.
Like so much of it was serialized and so much of it was made specifically for Star Trek fans. I mean, it's unfortunate for newcomers if they happen to catch a season 4 episode, they're not going to know what's going on because so much of it is deeply rooted in Star Trek. But for Star Trek fans who know all the connections, it's such great Star Trek.
Yeah, but you know,
these episodes specifically, do you really think that they were done well?
These are probably the weaker of season 4.
So to Holly's point, I do take her point. Like there's a lot of these two episodes I really do enjoy, but I think they're very dense. There's a lot going on. And a lot of these things could have been explained a little bit longer, a little better.
I do agree. A lot of the explanations are blink if you miss it. But I'm just trying to explain I understand what she's saying. These are not good for first person. But I'm also trying to say that most of season 4 would not be good for newcomers. Like season 4 is just a bad season to throw newcomers in. Because season 4, isn't like a bunch of one-off episodes.
Would you say that's why they had to end it after season 4?
Well, no. It was canceled at the end of season 3.
Okay.
And they needed like 100 or closer to 100 episodes to become syndicated. I think it only needed like 90 something in the early 2000s. So they had to meet an episode quota to become syndicated, so they could make money on it. So they just wrote a check like, hey, we need this many episodes to get syndication. So it's canceled. We're not doing any more. But just make these.
Right.
And that's what happened. And so a Star Trek fan came on and he made a Star Trek season of Enterprise for Star Trek fans. So, I mean, I haven't watched all of season 4 lately, but I would imagine most of season 4 is not going to be friendly for the first time Star Trek watcher.
But it's more than that. I honestly, what Holly's saying does have some good, I think, some valid points.
I'm not saying that they're not.
I'm just agreeing with her in some aspects because I enjoy it for a lot of reasons. But there's like the Travis and Garnett aspect is just, it's just almost a throwaway. You could have cut that out and you could have made it into something else.
Yeah, the spy thing could have been something different completely.
It was interesting, but it wasn't that interesting.
Like I said, I feel like Travis never really had a good love interest in the show, and they kind of threw him a bone since the show was ending.
Travis was always kind of like a very, very side character. I mean, we got to see a little bit of his like life with his family and stuff here and there, but we never got that far into him.
He was like a C or D character on the show. Yeah. He was barely. I mean, he was always there because he was the pilot, but I mean, he didn't have much of a character arc.
The baby hybrid didn't make a lot of sense if you really think about it. Like, what was the point of that, of Paxton even doing that? Like, other than just to shock people?
To promote bigotry.
Right.
I guess, but then he was like, well, I guess, I mean, an average guy who's not, doesn't have hate in his heart would be like, well, I guess Vulcans and humans can have babies, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But, I never knew it, so.
I wonder how they pung fire.
Yeah,
well, human wouldn't know what that was.
Yes, right.
No, maybe not yet. Soon they'll know.
Soon.
But yeah. So I mean, I guess these episodes not without its faults. I think it does. I think there's way too much packed. And like I said, the ending is just like just like a punch in the gut.
It is. That's why I like the episode. Not that the baby dies, but there's that emotional. Connection, and I like it when Star Trek gets me in the feels. That's what it's good Star Trek. And Holly hasn't finished Discovery yet, but that's one of my, just want to let you know, Holly, that's one of my big issues with Discovery. Like, there's nothing really hit me in the feels that made me upset or cry or, you know, nothing really challenged me emotionally. It was just kind of like, oh, this is fun. And it's good to show. And I like to talk about it. I love talking about Discovery. But it never, never, like, made me, like, cry or made me, like, want to cry ever.
Right. Yeah. Well, Dave, anything you want to take away from these episodes?
Terra Prime is definitely the better of the two. Mm-hmm. With all that emotional stuff at the end, it's so great. The acting is wonderful, really, really well put together. And, you know, I agree with almost everything you said, Aaron, and a lot of what Holly said. It's just shocking to see Star Trek again. Like, you know, they're trying to reflect the times then, but it's reflecting the times now very, very well.
Yeah. And at the time, we wouldn't even thought of that. You know, 2005, you know. I, like, you know, you think the you know, alt-right stuff, you thought that would all be, you know, that was gone, you know,
you thought this was just a Hitler reference. And then now it's like, oh, this applies to stuff happening right now in our government. It's disturbing.
Right. And in our, like, just our backyard, there's people that, you know, that are into that kind of stuff. And you're just like, I can't even imagine. It's just so weird. So
yeah, and you know, when we had Joe DePinto on, you know, he does politics up in the Northwest,
right?
And he's a great guy. We loved having him on. And you know, one of the things I said, you know, I wish world leaders were forced to watch Star Trek. I mean, even as convoluted as this episode was, this isn't a good episode to show our world leaders. Like, look, we need to come together. This is not, you know, fighting isn't doing us any good. You know,
sure.
You know,
sure.
I feel like Star Trek aspires to change the world, and I really wish we could help make Star Trek change the world and get our leaders to, like, and the world leaders to, you know, see, like, things could be better if we just work together.
Right. Well, of course, but
there are a lot of really good examples of that, though.
Yeah, but Star Trek does it all throughout. I mean, it's always, it's always one of Star Trek's central themes.
Yeah, when we talked 2 weeks ago, I think we kind of talked about that, how that's why me and my family always watched it, was because it talked about current issues.
Yeah, it's very Star Trek's very poignant, and it's like modern day Aesop's Fables. It's like, it's entertaining, but there's also a message behind it. Usually,
sometimes there isn't. Like House of Quark is just
crazy
story.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyway,
I thought there were good messages in House of Quark.
There are, just maybe not
not deep and heavy like this episode is, where it's like, you know, racism and
I don't know, women have the strength to do what they must when they must.
Kidnap men and make them do their taxes. It's great.
Well, did he kill your husband? Because this is a gray area.
I know.
I'm pretty sure her husband fell on his own knife, but you know.
Well.
Maybe your husband shouldn't be getting bar fights.
Yeah, right.
That's a good
takeaway. Maybe your husband shouldn't be getting in bar fights.
Take his knife away before he goes to the pub. That's great. Maybe there are definitely lessons to be learned in House of Quark.
Choice in men.
There you go. Make better choices.
Make better choices, girl. At least he did your taxes good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a coward rose up. I'm sorry. We already talked about Quark. Yeah. Let's just not.
It was fun. It's good to revisit old things.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a great two-parter, Demons, and it was an okay two-parter. I mean, it's got its flaws, and Holly definitely.
Yeah, and I don't mean to break it down.
No, it's great. I mean, like, it's how we feel about it. It's great.
Yeah,
I agree with you. It's got issues.
They had good moments too, though.
Yeah.
So.
Like that racist rally, that Trip got outed on.
Oh,
it was great.
It made me so happy. It made my heart just kind of glee.
He recognized Trip.
Well, it was really. I really liked that. I really appreciated that. He was playing him the whole time.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever. There was something else I thought was really clever, and I don't remember what it was.
There's a couple of spots that are, like, really, really well done.
Yeah.
But this would have been a better, like, even a three-parter.
Yes.
Where there was, like, they could put more of the story together, and it wouldn't have to be so, like, and then this, and then this, and then this, you know?
Yeah, it's jumped a lot. Yeah. Like, even while you were recapping everything, it was like, wow, oh, we're back there now. Oh, wait, they're not on Mars yet? Wait, what?
Yeah.
They did. They jumped a lot. And, you know, it's hard. You can't just tell this part of the story and then tell this part of the story and then tell this part of the story, because then the timelines don't match up, and that's confusing.
Yeah.
But they dumped a lot. There was so much going on in even Demons as opposed to Terra Prime that was just like, what?
Yeah, Demons was a lot more convoluted episode than Terra Prime. Terra Prime was
a little more direct.
A little more direct, yeah.
Yeah. Right. There were good things. There were bad things. Obviously, you know, being a, you know, a fascist is a bad thing. So yeah, that's going to be on the list of
fascism. Starfleet good.
Right.
Hybrid baby's good.
Hybrid baby good. That baby was cute.
Yes.
No denying it.
Yes. Little pointed ear is all so cute.
So yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Anything else we want to add to this?
No, this is a good episode to talk about. Good two episodes to talk about. And I'm glad this was a deeper episode. I like getting into these kind of philosophical, like, quandaries and seeing how it, you know, it's applicable now. It's fascinating how
Star Trek
has done this. And I just like getting into these deeper episodes because there's more to talk about, more than just the story beats, which is great.
Right, exactly. Cool, man.
Well, thanks for bringing this one up, Aaron. It was great.
I enjoyed it. I'm glad we got to revisit Enterprise. It's been a long time.
Getting from there to here. Yeah. Holly doesn't like the song. We don't like the song either.
I just can't stand it.
The funny thing is, because it's been off the air so long, the first two seasons version of the song, where it's not remixed and even more awful, I've kind of grown somewhat nostalgic to it. Even though I hate it, it's like, but it's Enterprise, and it was the last time we had Star Trek before Discovery.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then you got Discovery, and now you're more just nostalgic.
I do like the star map, the navigation maps that they have in both Enterprise and Discovery. Because I remember when I first started watching Enterprise, it was like obviously different, and I was irritated, and I muted it every time. Like, after episode one, I watched it, and when episode two started, I hit the mute button because I did not want to see it.
But credits.
Visually, I liked it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a cool montage of just, you know.
I wonder if Discovery Season 2 opening will be different because the first one is very Spore and Klingon heavy, and they might be moving away from that in Season 2, I think. So I wonder if they're going to change how the opening looks in Season 2.
Be cool if there are butts on there.
Butts.
Just butts. Just tardigrade butts everywhere.
Flying by a butt.
Shake that tardigrade butt. Butt in the butt.
Different butts. Different butts of the Federation.
Klingon butts, Andorian butts. Tardigrade butts.
Tardigrade butt.
But why?
But why?
Why not? Is the real question.
We don't know.
A Saru butt? A Kelpian butt? Ooh.
What's a Kelpian butt? Kelpian butt. It's probably very flat.
Yes. Oh, very muscly because they can run fast.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or long and stringy. Who knows? Just like the rest of them.
Yeah. Good eating.
Probably
though.
Delicious.
Yes. Good eating.
All right. Well, the show you can find online at Syntholics.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, all those fun places. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/Syntholics so you can join in the fun and consequently join in on that Mad Lib post so we can get that and read that on the air from the contributions of all our people.
If y'all force me into doing like a live... bullshit video to get people to answer these questions.
They're topless. It'll be great. They'll sign in for that.
Not gonna happen. You know. Y'all can kiss my ass.
I'll go topless for you guys.
Yeah. Do the Mad Lib anyway.
Yeah. Jump on there and finish out those.
You can do the ad lib at your home, people. Topless. There
you go. Yeah. Don't send us your topless photos. Don't do that.
No.
So. If you do want to, there you can Syntholics@yahoo.com. We'll post them to the webpage.
Why are you encouraging this?
Yeah, I know, right?
Hashtag.
Don't encourage him.
Hashtag don't encourage David.
That's right.
Twitter, you can find the show at Syntholic Duo. Personally, I'm David_J_Duncan, and Aaron's at Blackbird2004, and Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And hey, if you could go onto Apple iTunes, rate and review us there, that would be wonderful. Give us 5 stars and leave a nice comment. because it helps us get seen by other people. The more comments, the more stars. As well, if you do have a little money that you could throw our way to help us keep this podcast going, we have a Patreon set up, patreon.com/synthaholics. A buck a month, easy, very easy to help support us and keep us keep recording and giving you more Star Trek. And lastly, I think the best way to support us is to tell your friends, tell your families, tell the person you work with, tell your cashier at the supermarket about Synthaholics.
That person who keeps to themselves at work and, like, you know, loves Star Trek.
Yeah.
Just tell them.
Tell them about us. Get new people who maybe don't listen to podcasts yet. Let them know. You know, another great thing you can do is if you follow us on Twitter, and if you're on Facebook, you know, like retweet, share.
That's great, because
maybe people don't know who David Duncan is, and they're just not going to click on what David Duncan is sharing, but they know you.
Yeah, and they'll read your tweet.
Maybe they'll read your tweet. Maybe they'll read your Facebook share and say, hey, look, I like these guys. They're funny.
Yeah.
Or they're knowledgeable about Star Trek. Or they're both knowledgeable about Star Trek and funny.
And I try to tell, you know, the listeners and watchers of the Nerdynomicon, too, like, if you don't give us some indication of what you like, if you don't like our videos, or if you don't comment and say, hey, this is great, we don't know that's what you are enjoying. So we don't know if that's something we should continue to do or if we should change up our formula and cut things out. So you just got to let us know.
Absolutely. I mean, we need feedback. We've gotten a little bit of feedback over the years. We haven't gotten a ton of feedback about what you like and what you don't like about the show. So, I mean, you can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com or reach out to, you know, myself or Aaron on Facebook. And Holly now, as she's an admin on our Synthaholics group, you can let her know, too. If Aaron and I are just too imposing and scary to talk to with all
Holly's
our butt jokes.
Not scary or intimidating.
She is not.
Well, not in person.
I'm not scary either.
I'm not scary.
I don't think any of us are very scary.
I don't think any of us are scary. But
I know a lot of people are afraid of me, though.
Yeah.
Mm. 5'1" and terrifying.
I am terrified.
I'm just saying, feel free to reach out to us. I love speaking to people in the group. So send me a message sometime. I'd be happy to talk to you if you've got any issues with the podcast or have any suggestions.
Or if you just want to talk about an episode, he would totally be down to just be like, let's geek out about this episode.
Hell yeah.
We do that too. If you want to put a suggestion out for us of like something you want us to cover, we would love to hear that. We love to hear suggestions of that kind of stuff.
You can always post on the group or the page, whichever one.
Yeah.
We'll see it.
Maybe.
And we try to be good about responding, too. We usually respond within like an hour or two between Aaron and I.
Right.
Yes. Very much so. And, you know, if you think back to when we first started recording, how much we've changed just the format of the show, you know, we've changed a lot of things. So we're always, updating and doing new things. So.
Absolutely. But, let us know what you like. If you want us to go back to an old way, maybe let us know. If you want us to change something new, let us know. We're happy to, we're doing this. I mean, we enjoy doing it ourselves. But, I mean, in the end, it's also for you, the listener who's listening to the show and hopefully enjoying it. So anything we can do to make the show more fun for you guys, too, we'll definitely take into consideration.
Get rid of that Holly chick.
Holly chick should take over for David.
There you go.
Holly knows significantly less.
But it's such a prettier voice.
Come on now. You don't mean that.
I do.
You don't mean that.
I do mean that. I am the redneck of the group.
Aww.
I lived in the South my whole life until I moved up to New York.
Yeah,
you live in New York.
New York.
Maybe we should let these people get on with their lives.
You can hit the stop button now. Thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Bye. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
You guys are goofballs.
Yes.
Nyerk.
Nyerk.
It's hilarious.
That's what Pinky said it, and then Pinky the Brain. Nyerk.
Did he?
Yeah. Is that how he said New York?
Yeah.
New York. I guess I didn't catch on to that.
That's hilarious.
I liked Pinky and the Brain and Earth.
I think Brain told him to say unique New York, unique New York. And he's like, New York, New York, New York, New York.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
I can barely say it, so Pinky really had a hard time.
Yeah.
Unique awesome. New York. I can say I slid a sheet, Now I sleep on a slitted sheet. I can say that without a problem.
I feel like you practiced this. I feel he wrote it on papers, and then he like wrote it in the mirror, and then he wrote it backwards. Like,
I can say that so good.
Yeah, you know, he sat in his bedroom for years, practicing.
Maybe
I first learned it when I was 16, so I have a lot of time to practice.
Maybe he
or 17.
Did methodically, he like slid a sheet and he slept on a slitted sheet for years.
I've never done
so
this.
That he could like,
I learned this from one of the people in theater class at the college. I was in high school and I was in a theater class, and yeah, they said it and I was like, oh, I want to say that.
I slid a sheet
and I kept saying shit a whole bunch, and then I finally got it and I was like, yes, I've got it. And it's in my
mouth. Stop saying the word shit.
Shit, 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 shit.
It's hilarious.
I'm still recording, by the way, so it'll be lacking.
I just hope you have that on a loop going, shit, 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 shit.
You can, sync it up with, nyark, 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 nyark,
nyark, nyark, nyark, nyark, nyark, nyark, shit, 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 nyark, 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 shit, 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 shit.
That needs to be a thing.
That needs to be a thing.
But don't take our word for it.
That's right.
That's awesome. Check, 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 check.